is going to share what God has done all through her healing. So, and if anybody else has a testimony or something they'd like to share next Sunday, we'll take that time to do that. I've always said I've had an open pulpit for somebody who wants to share a testimony. So next week, Ruth is going to share what God did in her healing through all of her trials and tribulations and the provision of God. And if anybody else would like to also share, we'll have that time. So this week, we are going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. And last time we looked at how truth matters and we're to gird ourselves with the belt of truth. And why do we need to do that? Because it's essential that you have an external objective authority by which to test reason, feelings, and everything else. There has to be a point of reference of truth for everything else in life to make sense. And it's not only belted around you, the truth secures, pins, and it puts together all the other pieces that we're looking at. And we're looking at them one at a time. It must also speak with authority. When you have truth, you want it to speak with authority because that draws attention. And today we need authority based on knowledge or facts, just not opinion. Opinions are great, but everybody has an opinion, but there's only one set of facts. And the facts that guide our lives and guard us are only found in the Bible. And there can be no doubt that all the trouble in the church today and most of the troubles in the world are due to a departure from the authority of the Bible. The whole situation results in doubt and drift for society. And I don't think many people are going to argue with that today. Yet the issue is crystal clear. Do you accept Scripture as a revelation from God? This is something we all have to decide. Or do you trust to speculation, human knowledge, human learning, human understanding, and human reason? Again, why is truth and authority so important? People need authority because they are confused, and if they do not find it in the right way, they will find it in the wrong way. People are looking for right, and if they don't find it in the right way, the correct truth, they're going to find it in the wrong places. An example of that is having possessed all that is needed, how it's easily handed over and compromised so nothing of power or influence is worth having or exists. And the Christian warrior, and if you're a Christian, we're all in a fight, we're a warrior, must be girded with the belt of truth, which is the totality of the Bible and the gospel teaching. And now we're going to add, today we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. So before we get to Ephesians 6, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for this day that you've given us, just the nourishment of the rain we've been getting. And Lord, I just ask as we go through your word and look at this critical piece of the armor, just open our ears, open our hearts, and Lord, let us just take this and put it so into our lives that the enemy can't touch us, Lord. We just thank you for all you do and all you will do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So the first part is the basis from all which the remainder are to be effective. The truth. Not that any one part is greater than the others, but the order is essential. The order, all of them are needed, but the order is critical. The belt of truth, we were to put it on. And now it's the breastplate of righteousness. I love what Proverbs 23:23 tells us. Buy the truth, which means to possess for yourself. You're supposed to buy it and possess for yourself. And do not sell it. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. If you have the truth, wisdom, or how to live skillfully according to God's way, instruction, which is kind of on-the-job training, you kind of learn it by yourself, and understanding, which is to distinguish between right and wrong, what matters most and not at all, it's discernment. You get all those things when you have the truth. If you don't, you're going to kind of just keep going in a circle looking for them. And it's important as you don't want to forget the source. We can't forget the source of everything. And look at Ephesians 6. I need to turn there. I can just turn in my Bible because we're almost there as we read through the Bible. But just a little review, we're going to pick up in verse 10. where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." This is the source and the protection and the power of His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." I love how it repeats that. So it lets us know that it's not anything of ours, and it's all of His, the whole armor of God, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then we saw last week in verse 14 how it again, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And that's what we're going to look at today. If you overlook the source, the strength, and the reason for the armor, you disregard the purpose of living and His protection. And just a story about protection. It was Christmas Eve, 1875, and Ira Sankey was traveling on a Delaware River steamboat when he was recognized by some of the passengers. His picture had been in the newspaper because he was the song leader for the famous evangelist D.L. Moody. They asked him to sing one of his hymns, but Sankey demurred, saying that he preferred singing William B. Bradbury's hymn, "Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." As he sang, one of the stanzas began, "We are thine, do thy befriend us, be thy guardian of our way." When he finished, a man stepped from the shadows and asked, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" "Yes, Mr. Sankey," answered, "in the spring of 1860. "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlight night back in 1862? "Yes, Mr. Sankey," answered, very much surprised. "So did I, but I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, that fellow will never get away alive. I raised my musket and took aim. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling upon you. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. Let him sing his song to the end," I said to myself. "I can shoot him afterwards. He's my victim at all events, and my bullet cannot miss him. But the song you sang then was the song you just sang now. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way." Those words stirred up many memories. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many times sung that song to me. "When you had finished your song, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought, the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. And my arm of its own accord dropped limp at my side." Guys, when you are putting on the armor of God and partaking of His strength, you have protection you don't even realize. I'm convinced when we get to heaven, we're going to be there for eternity because we are going to be going over events like this where people are going to come up to us and we're going to realize all the times God was guarding and protecting us. And you know, He guards and protects that those who don't believe Him. But guys, when you're doing His will and you're drawing on His strength and power and you're putting on His armor, you have so much more than you realize. And it's a reminder that God is the source of your strength, yet lovingly has participated in your salvation. And He's preparing not only you for His kingdom, but for His work down here now. And we have to learn what the battle is, and in the process, your salvation is worth fighting for. So the armor, piece by piece, we're putting it on, and God has wisely provided exactly what is needed to effectively engage the enemy. He gives us exactly what we needed, or we need. And we start by putting on the whole truth, which is the acceptance and the understanding of the whole way of salvation. It's the entirety of the Bible. Remember we said the belt of truth is the entirety of this book, where we're going to get to the sword of the Spirit, and that's where you take particular verses and you use them to fight the enemy. The world, think of this, the world by its wisdom knew not God, and it failed to find Him. Man in his own wisdom will not find God. And we have a duty as we live before the God our Father, and as soldiers we have certain responsibilities. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 13 and 14. Peter explains us some of our responsibilities. And it's interesting, when you read the Bible, you see that all the writers recognize this. You know, Jeremiah, you know, even if he complained, and if anyone deserved to complain, Jeremiah, he could have done it. But you know what? We have responsibilities. 1 Peter 1, 13 and 14, Peter said, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you." I love this. "At the revelation of Jesus Christ." Through the fight, God reveals who He is to you. And it's the pieces of armor that protect you. Verse 14, "And as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Peter's just quoting from Leviticus. And he's saying, guys, there's things for us to do, there's things for us not to do. But when you're holy, you set yourself apart, you're going to see God like you've never seen Him before. And it starts with the truth coming from a proper place of authority. And next, the breastplate of righteousness. And you might say, well, what is that? And I learned a lot, but guys, I always learn a lot, because I don't know if I'm just so ignorant of what I've not known before. But you know what? Through this study, the breastplate of righteousness, we're going to look at what it's not. Because I think it's easy for us to, you look at this, well, it's a piece of, you know, something that covers me here to here, and it protects stuff. But you know what? It is not personal integrity. You have to think that these pieces of armor, remember, it's the whole armor of God. It's not the whole armor of Dave. It's not yours or mine. It's not something you say, I designed, I'm going to put it up. Because, guys, integrity is important. Don't get me wrong. But if there's anything of you that goes into this armor, you're not going to be protected. And we're going to see how that works in a minute. Integrity is not a breastplate that is adequate to meet the devil, because it's not your armor we're putting on. Integrity is good, but natural integrity and goodness is nothing when confronted by the wiles of the enemy who is standing opposed to you. He can lead you into utter condemnation if you rely on your own goodness. Because we get attacked at the point of our conscience. We all have them. Satan loves to condemn us. And he wants to shift from the authority of truth from an objective point of reference to your feelings and your experiences. Because those change. Those change. Our feelings and our experiences and our conscience. If we make our own breastplate, that's what it's made of. And that's where he attacks us. And we're going to fail. I love Romans 8:1. That's why Paul wrote, "There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We need a righteousness provided by God, not developed and put together by humanity. There's no condemnation. Guys, if you're saved, you're saved. The enemy tries to steal that from you. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. Yeah, we are. Not by ourselves. By the blood of Christ, we are. Perfectly. And that's why this breastplate is so it's so protective. The breastplate of what you might say, well, what is it then? Righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness which is of God. And the Greek the Greek means correctness of thinking, acting, and feeling, state of him who is ought to be. But here's the one to remember. The condition acceptable to God. That's what righteousness is. The condition acceptable to God. Not how we feel, not what we think is fair, not what we experience. It's His conditions, what He sets forth. And we don't even know our conditions, what that is from one day. You know, it changes. You know, just from the people in here, we're waiting for a baby to be born. Family, their condition, their world will change. Ruth, cancer, you hear that word, your life changes. You know, I get the call from Eliza when I was teaching, you know, Noah's mom died. You know, I'm in the middle of a classroom in Gillette, you know, and she's crying, you know, and your conditions. You know, do you want to hear those things? No, they're part of a fallen world, but in Christ and His righteousness, we're protected. Because the enemy will say, look it, your God is no good. And you can say, oh yeah, he's perfectly fine. And that's why you have that protection. Why a breastplate? It's what it covers. Listen to what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said about the breastplate. What it covers. It covers the heart. Then after that, the lungs. Both are essential and vital to existence, not to say to true living. Then come all the various organs in the abdominal cavity. We today do not attach the same significance to those as did the ancient people. The biblical writers were very often referred to the various organs of the abdominal cavity. The Epistle of Philippians says in the King James in 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. And you might like, well, what's that? It's the ancients believed that these various organs were the seat of the affections and that they attached significance to practically all of them. The idea has, in a sense, persisted. And this word bowels, in the Greek, it's were regarded as the seat of the more violent passions. It has to deal with the intestines of your inner workings. And it deals with anger and love. And the Hebrews said it was the seat of tender affections, especially kindness, benevolence, and compassion. So when it says in Proverbs 4:23, we're supposed to guard our hearts above all things because out of it flow the issues of life, we are to guard our hearts above all things. That's why this protection is necessary. I love this example. It says, a man speaks of being liverish. I've never heard that before. And so on. He is referring to a mood which arises from the condition of the liver. We also talk of men venting their spleen. I can't say I've ever heard that before either. The ancients were aware when they had various feelings and sensations that cause of a particular trouble was into a local organ. And it does matter whether they were right. It doesn't matter whether they were right or wrong. The important thing is to know that this is how they viewed it. And here he brings it together. So the apostle here, when he tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, is concerned that in this conflict, we're in a conflict, this wrestling that we are engaged in with the world and the flesh and the devil, there should be no part we should be more careful about in regard to protection than that where the feelings and the affections are controlled. And not only the feelings and the affections, but the conscience also and the desire and the will. Because doesn't the enemy, I can't emphasize that enough. He loves to say, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. I'm too tired. Or I read it yesterday. You know, what's a day? A day is a lot. A day is a lot. So what can keep you safe? The righteousness of God, which is by faith. The conditions which are acceptable to God. And we need to address a couple of critical items here. We need to look at imputed and imparted righteousness. Okay, and this isn't going to be some big, huge Bible study, but these are really important. Okay, we're going to split these two apart, but they're all one. Is the whole foundation of our standing as a Christian, in our whole foundation, we have a foundation as we stand as Christians, or justified by faith. That's imputed righteousness, okay? Think of it this way. Imputed means credited and assigned, and justification means imputed righteousness, which is just as if I had never sinned, if anyone has ever heard that. So when you get accredited and assigned righteousness, it's your salvation. It's the foundation you're standing on that when God looks at you, he sees you as perfect, that you're his, that you're saved, and that you're good. The source and authority is girded in truth or correct thinking, and that provides the protection, the power, and the meaning. You and I can never meet the standard of perfection required by God, so that is why he sent his son Jesus to do that. That's why we have this imputed, assigned, or credited. His standard is found in Matthew 22:37. Where he said the greatest commandment is love the Lord God with our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And he did this so he might be able to give us his righteousness. And he defines it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. And just keep in mind, guys, there's nothing we did to earn this. It says if somebody, which would be great, just said, well, here's $100, I'm just going to put that in their account. And nobody can take that away from you. You didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, but they just said, here it is. Here it is, and somebody looks at your statement, and there's more money in there. And that's what Christ does for us. We come to him, accept him as Lord and Savior. We have imputed, is assigned, credited righteousness, right living. So salvation by imputed righteousness means that Christ's perfect righteousness is put into your account, imputed to you, put upon you by God. It's permanently assigned. It's the foundation. And looking at you, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, God pronounces you to be a just person, a righteous person, and the law cannot touch you. The law can't touch you. The law has nothing to say against you because you are covered by this perfect, spotless righteousness by the blood of God Himself, His Son, and have on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, imparted righteousness, these are all one. This is the part of righteousness, but not the whole thing. Imparted is, it means communicated, informed, conveyed, instructed, disclosed, or revealed. The difference between imputed and imparted righteousness is that if you stop at the imputed, you are left where you were before. Okay? And I'm not saying you say, well, I wasn't saved before, but just think of this. If you're building a house and you're given the foundation, and somebody said you're going to have a house, you still have to do part of the work yourself. And that's what God is talking about, is righteousness here. He's given you the foundation, and he's going to give you the materials through these pieces of armor, but you have to put them together. He gives you the instructions of living down here, and you learn, and you're going to make mistakes, but there's a guaranteed finish line. You're going to have a house. You're going to have a house. For us, we're going to be in heaven with God. You have no righteousness inherent in you at all, although you are clothed and covered by the righteousness of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ himself. That's the beginning. That's what makes you a Christian. That's the foundation. But God doesn't stop at that. He now begins to work in you the righteousness of his own Son. His own Son. Philippians 1:6 said, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. God himself imparts to you. He makes it part of you. He instructs, discloses, reveals, and he puts it into you. And this happens of the necessity as the result of rebirth, regeneration. It's the new life. There is a new seed of life implanted in you. And now you work it out, you put it into practice in this fallen world in order to discover for yourselves, under the protection and guidance of God, the very heart of what has really taken place. You know, you might say, well, why does God put us through these? Why do we go through hard times? If God's such a loving God, then why do I get sick? If God's such a loving God, you know, why did I break my shoulder? Well, God wasn't driving my bicycle at 25 miles an hour when I broke my shoulder. I did. I was completely in control. Well, out of control at one point. But, you know, that was me. You know, was God protecting me? Yeah, I could have died. I mean, if I didn't have a helmet on, I would probably have been dead. I probably would have been dead. You know, why did things happen? Guys, all I know is that God's in charge. And that through affliction, the refiner's fire, that's where the greatest lessons are learned. That's when you become so close to God that it doesn't seem... I always said that, you know, when my wife left me, it was the worst time, but the best time for me, because I saw Scripture like never before. It was almost four-dimensional. I still see it today in a different way than I never did before, that I probably would have never seen. And it was through the depths of my trial and just my suffering and my pain and everything else that I just drew so close to God that I just, that's the relationship I developed with him. That's all I had. That's all I had. But that's what I needed. That's exactly what I needed. The redemption of the world is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the seed has been implanted and it now grows, but it has to be protected because that provides the ability to stand. That's why he says so much in here, stand. Philippians 2, 12, 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You have a part, you have a purpose, and it's found at the beginning of Ephesians, the source and protection is God, but it's worked out relationally through the process of putting on, using, and finding out how the armor is used. It's transferred his power, it's infused and injected. The heart, the conscience, desires, and will are all very sensitive points, and this is where the conflict is ceaselessly taking place, and the devil is trying to defeat us. He is so much trying to get into us through little things too. You know, just, you know, I always love the thing, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, I use it a lot when I do marriage counseling because it does through life. Don't take a stand on minor issues, you know. Don't make a stand on that, guys. Love covers a multitude of sins. And this breastplate provides the confidence in Christ, knowing that your salvation is sure and you are protected and it will encourage you and enable you to stand. This is what happens when you go out and serve Christ. You know, God, you become a Christian and then you kind of, sometimes you say, well, what do I do now? And this is the part, this imparted righteousness that, you know, like, oh, I'm protected. I'm going to start serving God because that's the new life that seed he's planted in me. You know, not to serve him for my glory, but for his glory. And that's why testimonies are so awesome, because they don't, it's not us talking about our glory, it's talking about giving glory back to God. And that's what draws the world to him. You know, even with my shoulder thing, I know that there's a story in here for God's glory. And it's still being worked out. It's like, I'm still being worked out. You know, it's coming along. But you do not put on the feelings never, here's the thing, feelings must never be isolated as if they can stand alone, because they're usually not factual and they shift. Do we all have feelings? Absolutely. But don't be swayed by your feelings so much. I always like what the Bible said, you know, do not think so highly of yourself. I think too many people think too much of themselves these days. And everybody's so offended. Yeah, but offended over nothing. You know, everyone takes themselves so seriously. Even Christians, you know, it's the ones that don't smile enough or think that God doesn't have a sense of humor. And if you try to tell them a joke, they say, well, that's sacrilegious, you know, and I don't know. They're the Pharisees that walk around and aren't very happy. I'm glad there's not many in here. Annie. But you do not put on the breastplate of feelings or experiences. It's the breastplate of righteousness, and you must realize the only true ground of your standing in the presence of God, so that in the absence of anything unusual or dramatic or extraordinary, you nevertheless know where you are and how you stand and how to answer all that the devil may suggest to you. If not, discouragement and pride will be a constant distraction and a cancer to your faith. And you guys, you'll grow up, and I think this is so much a problem in the world today, with unreasonable expectations in every part of life. So many people have these unreasonable expectations, and whatever it is, it could be school, it could be relationships, marriage, it's, you know, what do you expect? And I think it's a great thing if you sit down sometimes, if you're unhappy with something, and say, why am I unhappy? And then put, what are my expectations in this event? And a lot of times, they're unreasonable. You can't meet them all. You just can't. As a Christian, we did this, I don't know how many years ago, in Sunday school, we wrote down our mission statement, a life mission statement. And it makes a lot of sense, because it defines what your goals are, what your mission is. I don't think a lot of us think of that. But here Jesus is telling, the Bible tells us, this is your mission you're going to be on. These are the things I'm going to be giving you, and you're better off if you use them, because if you don't, you're foolish. Because I'm giving them to you, and here's what they are, and they all go together, and you don't need anything other than these, because this is all that I've given you, and it's all you need. Now, just wrapping this up, I'm going to repeat what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said about the breastplate. He said, so the apostles here, when he tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, is concerned that in this conflict, this wrestling that we are engaged in with the world and in the flesh and the devil, there should be no part we should be more careful about in regard to protection than where the feelings and the affections are controlled. And not only the feelings and the affections, but the conscience also and the desires and the will. Putting on the breastplate of your own integrity and righteousness will lead to a sure defeat. It has to be from God, placed with confidence, imputed and assigned, and then imparted and instructed. So remember, imputed is assigned, imparted is instruction. It's the instruction that comes with your salvation. So these pieces of armor, this direction Paul gives us in regard to what you are and are to do as a Christian soldier, it sometimes you might say, that seems like a whole lot for me to do. You know, you say, well, I can only, somebody might say, well, how can I do all this? Guys, you can do it all. They all are common experiences and expectations from God to his children. It's not something uncommon for us to do for him and with him. They're necessary provisions for growth and protection because God knows the battle, he knows the enemy, and he knows how to develop our trust in him through giving us things. He loves to give us things, good things, good things. Mainly, he gives us salvation based upon all his sacrifice and put forth by our obedience. One has been accomplished, and now we get to work on the other one. Not yours, given by God for you to use, but therein lies the power not to merely exist today, but to fight from truth with authority, power, and might. That gives us the ability to stand for him in the battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for just giving us things that we absolutely need. And I just pray that you give us instruction as we put these things in place. And Lord, that you give us the confidence when the enemy comes up against us, when he tries to tell us that we're not good enough, that we just plead the blood of Jesus, because it covers everything. And Lord, it's in that name and it's in that sacrifice and it's in that new life that we have life. And so often we forget that. We have such a short time here on earth, Lord. I ask that we redeem the time for you, your good, and absolutely for your glory above all things. Lord, continue to strengthen us. Give us that ability to stand. And Lord, let us just love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, we get to stand and worship God one more time this morning through song.